Happy Tuesday! Today is September the 28th, 2021. Welcome everyone to A Voice of a People, live here with Linda Sims on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also go into your Play Store, find the free app called TuneIn on any electronic device. Once you download that, you can search WWGH. I think it says radio first, and you hit radio, then WWGH, okay? Or you can call in and be a part of the conversation. Today, we will be here until the top of the hour, 5 p.m., by calling 740-383-9944 for questions or if you would like to make comments, okay? Today is the 271st day in this year. There only remains 91 days in the year. And I don't know if people realize that or not, but this year is almost over. And maybe you, like me, thought that COVID would be gone by now, but it's not. But there's other things to be happy about. So let's look on the brighter side, okay? All right. Now, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappies Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio, 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Number there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement, free produce, that will take place October the 16th. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Hopefully you can benefit from this, from the free produce. If you can't, please share that information with someone you know who could. We have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 29 years of experience working for you. The owner, Cheryl Lee, location, LaRue, Ohio, 740-262-0939. And those of you who faithfully listen to A Voice of a People, thank you for your support. And if this is your first time listening, hopefully it won't be your last. And I hope you enjoyed the show. I like to start my show off with a thought for today, and it's titled Feed the Soul. And it goes like this: I invest in myself. I feed the soul with peace and love. Nourishment for the soul gives me strength on all levels to speak and to act with a global vision. Remember, this is not just for you, but it is for other people. Okay, so that you can show them love and consideration also, feeding the soul. Now, let me turn my attention to my guest today, Amy Orr Parker. I remember her as the laundry detergent lady, but she's much more than that, aren't you, Amy?
I guess now I am.
Oh, yeah, you're much more than that. You got more going on than that. So how are you, Amy?
Very, very well. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's a joy to have you. It's just been a while, but that's okay. We're still on the air, and you're always welcome here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I'm glad you could come. Absolutely, absolutely. So how have you been since I saw you last?
Really good. We've grown a little bit, and I've got a little information here I can share with the listeners to kind of give a recap, or if someone doesn't know what we're about, to kind of share what we're about.
Right.
So I just want to start, though, by saying thanks again for having me and for the opportunity to share our work with you. Luke 311 Ministries is a family-led ministry from here in Marion, and we're committed to showing God's love to the world. My partner in crime here is my husband, Brock Parker, and I'm Amy Parker. And we are a nonprofit organization dedicated to reducing poverty in Ohio through any means possible, including but not limited to distributing no-cost laundry soap and peanut butter jelly sandwiches. We currently have two projects, Lumpy Loads of Laundry and the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. We're often asked why we chose Luke 3:11 as our theme Bible verse, so let me just tell you what this verse means to us. In the Bible, some people asked John the Baptist how to be a Christian. And in Luke 3:11, John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." So this verse spoke to us and birthed our two projects, Lumpy Loads of Laundry and the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. Basically, we want to honor God with everything we do, and that's why we chose Luke 3:11 as our ministry. But I want to share another Bible verse with you.
Okay.
It's also from Luke. It's Luke 14:13. "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind." My pastor used this verse last week at Rice Church, and it struck me really hard. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and I immediately stopped paying attention and started Googling the different versions of the verse and what it could mean.
Right.
Because that verse was for me last week, and now I want to share it with you guys. Because here's what I heard. When we extend an invitation, we generally do so with the hope and the expectation that the recipient will attend, right? Mm-hmm. But what does it really look like when we invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind to our feast?
Right.
Because many do not have transportation, clothing, or the organized household needed to take advantage of food pantries and free meals. So truly setting a place for them and expecting them to come really looks like taking the table on the road and starting to provide them with some of the needed resources to participate proudly in society.
Yes.
And especially during this pandemic, taking the feast to the needy seems to be the best way to invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind to
right.
the feast.
Right.
So let me tell you about the two ways we're going to do that. Lumpy Loads of Laundry was established in February of 2019. We collect empty laundry detergent jugs, and we refill them with homemade detergent to distribute for free to Marion's needy. The organizations we donate this to are the Heart of Ohio Homeless Shelters, Leapin Ministries, Salvation Army, Turning Point Shelter, Marion Area Humane Society, The Dog Pound, Breaking Bread Food Pantry, Bee Ministries, Heart of Ohio Community Heartland, Community Action Commission, and more. The team leader of this project is a remarkable young woman named Kayla James, who has autism, and she takes over the work after the recycled containers and detergent making materials are gathered. She produces the detergent, refills the containers, adds the label, chooses the recipient, and then delivers them with the help of her parents, Jeremy and Anna James. And she is just a phenomenal team leader, and we really appreciate the time and dedication that she invests in this leg of the ministry. She really is a great leader. She manages this whole leg of the ministry pretty self-sufficiently. We just kind of collect and gather and get things to her, and she takes it from there. So we are so grateful for her.
Right.
The other leg of our ministry is the Peanut Butter Jelly Truck. That was established in November of 2019 when our family bought an antique ice cream truck to facilitate the distribution of free peanut butter jelly lunches to the northeast quarter of Marion. It quickly grew from a family project to an entire community working together to refurbish and stock the truck to serve entire sack lunches. Our model is we drive around blasting the Buckwheat Boys Peanut Butter Jelly Time song, and when someone approaches us, we hand them a free lunch. We feed pedestrians, children playing, families who come out of homes or cars, homeless, and when we get rained out, then we take our sandwiches to Bee Ministries, which is a resource and warming center in the old YMCA building, if you aren't aware of that. Check that place out. That is a fantastic partner to us. When the pandemic shut the world down back in the spring of 2020, we decided we needed to start running the truck every day, and the community jumped to help and began bringing lunch supplies by to support the change. My daughter and I eventually realized we needed help making sandwiches, so we started our scheduling website, and the scheduler was very successful at managing our increasingly supportive community. So we decided to raise some funds to get another truck on the road, and our goal was the end of 2020. So we wrote some grants, we asked for some gifts, and we wound up getting not just one, but two trucks on the road by the end of 2020. So now we have three trucks that are all out on the road different times of the week, and we're serving between 500 and 600 meals a week all over Marion.
Oh, my.
So our sandwiches are all made by volunteers, and we have a really unique volunteer system.
An assembly line.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I think our system is pretty unique. So first our volunteers come by and they pick up a kit. It's got peanut butter, jelly, baggies, masks, gloves, those kinds of things in it. And then they take the Tupperware tub. They purchase 6 loaves of bread, and they make the sandwiches for an evening's run. And they sign up through the links on our Facebook or our website. So because this system is entirely no contact, it's convenient for our volunteers to fit time in for our community into their lives. They can do each step of the process as their own time allows. So we benefit from volunteers who have time to donate outside of typical nonprofit business hours, because they can come pick up their kit on their way home from work. They can buy the bread another day right before they make their sandwiches. Then they can drop their sandwiches off even the night before their day if they want to. So it's completely convenient for them. We have some regulars who sign up often, including a lot of individuals, 2 different nursing homes, several hospital wings, a Cub Scout troop, a few church groups, 3 high school sports teams, a high school special education classroom, and some ladies groups. And we also sign paperwork for those doing community service through the sandwich making program. So we have a lot of different types of volunteers all over the place, and our favorite thing is when we hear stories about how families use this opportunity to teach their children about how to give back.
Yes.
So here is what our daily need is for 1 peanut butter jelly run. We go through a lot of supplies. So right now we're running 9 routes a week, and each route needs 60 baggies, 60 applesauces, 60 yogurt tubes, 60 brown bags, 60 bags of chips or some other snack. And then it also requires 2 jars of jelly, a big jar of peanut butter, and 6 loaves of bread. So that is a lot of supplies. And then also, besides all the volunteers who donate those supplies, who make those sandwiches, we have our teams of drivers who drive the trucks around. And we are so blessed with fantastic team members. Brock and myself drive truck 1, and then Sandy and Alex and Brian Green drive truck 2, that's the white one, and then Pete and Judy Stambezi drive truck 3, that's the gray one, and then we have a set of substitutes, Peggy Bond and Tim Manti, who fill in as substitutes, and they are on call as a backup, so we are very blessed to have all of them. So you might be wondering how we're supplied, how all of those supplies, and the Lord does provide, but let me tell you how He provides. We don't solicit monetary donations. We seem to be successful just asking for the things we need, and our amazing community comes through for us every time.
That's great.
Groups like churches and hospitals and banks have had donation drives to collect items for us. We have a donation box at our headquarters where people drop items, and our Amazon wish list is an easy way for donors to choose what items they want to donate and then have them shipped directly to us. The only thing our current donation system doesn't provide is the yogurt tubes, which are super hard to stock up on and store in advance because we freeze them, and we have 1 deep freeze dedicated to this, but it only holds a little less than a week at a time. So we are running to yogurt tubes a lot. We do write some grants, and we accept gifts to cover the purchase of the yogurt and the other costs to keep the trucks insured and on the road. But we know that the Lord will provide, and we do have all volunteer staff. Like, I'm the volunteer director, we're all volunteer, so there are no expenses other than supplies and the trucks. And we continue to see the evidence of the favor of the Lord in our work. So yesterday, we had a little bit of disappointment. We had been working with an individual who needed to serve community service hours, and things fell apart for him, and then also us, because when he had to cancel all of his slots, we suddenly had 50 unfilled openings in the immediate future. So That was a surprise. It was kind of a blow, but God did not let me sit around and wonder if he still had his hand on, right, on our ministry. He didn't even give me time to think about that, because before I was finished updating the scheduler and posting a plea for replacements, I had an email waiting from the Marion Community Foundation with super good news. See, truck number one is a 1979 antique that needs a new transmission and some stuff. I guess I don't explain this right, according to my husband, but basically, it doesn't start up until I pray every single time. So it makes
it's still doing that.
Yeah. So we haven't replaced the parts needed, and so every time I just pray, and then it starts up every time. Like, we have never abandoned a route yet, because it always starts up. So it's not even funny, because, like, we know that thing runs on prayers, but we also know that the transmission is not good, because we took it to Waldo for their vacation Bible school, because we were their recipient of their charity project, so I got to teach the kids a little bit, and I got to have a little fun, and that thing was not good. That was not good on the trip to Waldo, and then I wanted to ride it in the Popcorn Festival parade, and then my husband said, no, the transmission, it gets too high, we can't do it, so I know we need a new one, and I wrote a grant for one, just asking for the cost for it, and the Community Foundation sent the email saying they were covering it. So
that's great.
Before I even had a chance to be upset about the slots, all of a sudden I got great news of a $4,000 engine work job, just in time. So now we can have that done before winter, and we got a great reminder that every time we have a little bit of a setback, our loving Father is right there with encouragement and support, and all we have to do is have the faith and open our eyes and look for those kinds of encouragement that are right there. He's providing them for us. But this kind of alignment tells us that we are on the right track, and we should keep going. So that is our program, and we know we're kind of non-traditional, but desperate times call for desperate measures, and we've just been so proud to facilitate the efforts of our whole community these past couple of years, and that's basically what we've been up to. So it's been a whirlwind of fun.
Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. But God is always faithful, isn't he?
He sure is, yeah.
We can always depend on him. And I was thinking earlier today, maybe I'm not praying enough or exalting him enough. You know what I mean? And just thanking him instead of putting in orders all the time. You know how we do sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, Lord, I know you can do this and you can do that. But I it just crossed my mind. I know he had to put it on my mind, you know. Pray a little more. Thank me a little more. You know, exalt me a little more. And, hey, you never know what may turn out of that. But
I think sometimes when you're looking for things to be thankful for, you find he's answered your prayers.
Yes.
When you start looking, you find the answer, and he's been there all along, and his plan is always working together for our good. So we just need to tune in and listen.
Yes, that's good too, tuning in and listening to what he has to say. Well, Amy, you have been so busy since 2019.
Yeah, it's been so fun, though.
And that's wonderful that you enjoy what you're doing. You know, a charity should be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It should be fun. And for everyone, you know, to be a part of, and how the community has come together to support, that's beautiful. That is really beautiful. Wow. So let's move on here a little bit. So what are your future goals?
So I think we have leveled off. We were running a little more than 600. We were running about 670 meals a week, but we have backed down to almost 600 meals. I think we have saturated the market. We know about how many meals we should be getting rid of on a route. So we've leveled out, and now I think our next step is to find another driving team to kind of take the pressure off of our three drivers who've been working so super hard these past couple of years. So now we're at a point where if we could ensure another driving team to take a day or two a week, then the rest of us could step back down to 2 days a week, and that would be a great relief so that I don't burn out my driving teams, because that's the last thing we want to do is burn them out and have them quit and not drive anymore. So I want to be very careful and proactive to not let that happen. So if anybody out there feels like they want to drive one of the peanut butter jelly trucks around and hear the same song over and over for about an hour, reach out to us. Get a hold of us on Facebook or our webpage, because we would love to talk about insuring another driver and another a driving team even. So it could be a driver or a pair.
Did you ever think that it would grow to this proportion?
I had no idea. I just thought it would be my husband and I driving around to feeding our own neighborhood kids that already knew us. And we just thought that's all it would be because we live on the same block as Patterson Park. So we just thought we'd be running around the corner feeding our neighbors. And
right.
We had no idea that we would be helping the town feed 600 families a week.
That's quite a bit. That's just wonderful how that God has expanded that. And, you know, and we think that people have food and they are okay, and then we realize or that they don't. They're not okay. They don't really have food. Children don't really have food. And then they're talking about how many homeless teenagers we have in our city, and some of those things are just, they're heartbreaking.
We see a lot of heartbreaking things. We fed a man in a tent all winter last winter before he was able to get into some suitable housing. That was really hard to tolerate. And there are a lot of homeless just doesn't mean living in a tent. Homeless can mean they don't have a steady place to live, and mm-hmm. they're couch surfing from this aunt to that cousin to various places. And that also qualifies as homeless. And those families or children or teenagers or individuals in that situation often don't want to be more of a burden on the people giving them a couch to sleep on, so they need these meals badly. And one time it about broke my heart because I got a call from my parents. My dad is a pastor in prison, and one of his inmates had given a praise during their section where they give thanks for things mm-hmm. that have happened. And he said that he'd received a message or a call or something from a family member where they only had a cheese sandwich in the house for everyone for dinner until the peanut butter jelly truck came by and provided food for them all.
Right.
And he was thanking God in the prison for the peanut butter jelly truck out on the streets helping his family. And like, we wouldn't have known. We still have no idea which family that was, because mm-hmm. when they come up to the window, we have no idea what's going on in their house.
Like, right.
They may have one cheese sandwich for five people. They may have a meal for tonight but not tomorrow, and so they can save ours for tomorrow, and then they can rest easy and peaceful over the night. You just don't know what's going on, and you would be so surprised that you cannot tell by what someone looks like how badly they need the food. So even in some neighborhoods in town where you wouldn't expect it, people will come out and say, thank God I haven't eaten in days.
Mm-hmm.
In neighborhoods you would not expect that, there are grown people coming out and flagging us down for that reason. So
yeah.
It is very needed in our town, and it's such an honor to get to help meet that need. It really is. It's the honor of my life.
And, you know, when you mentioned that, a cheese sandwich for five people mm-hmm. in the house, I don't think we can even wrap our minds around that. That looks like something we see on a movie, you know, how they go past the homeless and they're sharing a piece of bread or whatever. And it doesn't register that it's around us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy lived in a tent almost all winter.
In 20 degree below zero weather, and he would not go to a hotel because he had significant mental health issues that prevented him from being able to take advantage of the assistance. So
right.
All we could do was take him food. That was the only thing. We did try to get him a birth certificate, but oh my goodness, try getting a birth certificate when you're homeless and don't have documents.
Right.
Because you have to have documents to get your birth certificate.
Yes, you do.
But you have to have your birth certificate to get documents. So this poor man, I went through all the documents that he owned trying to find him enough to get him his birth certificate, because he was from Michigan, and there was no way to get him a birth certificate because he didn't have, they wouldn't accept homeless IDs as proof of identity, and that was all he had, was homeless shelter identifications.
So what do people do? They've changed the system so much and made it so hard for people.
This man's only choice was to live in a tent and push everybody away that tried to help him, because he knew that everybody's efforts were going to wind up against a brick wall because he didn't have an ID. So it was heartbreaking.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, he wound up in a stable situation.
Amen.
Praise God. That was
Amen.
Such an answer to prayer.
Whoa. Goodness. It just really is hard to come to the realization that people are so hungry and have such a lack of things that we take for granted every day. Just every day. Wow. Well, thank God for you and your charitable help to them and the community that comes together to help you. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And I do. How can listeners become sandwich makers?
So we have this really awesome website that's a calendar, and it shows if there are openings or no openings on a given day. So if they go to the website, which is linked either on our Facebook page or our website at Luke311Ministries.org or the Peanut Butter Jelly Turk Facebook page, either one of them has a link to the scheduler. You can just choose your site, choose your day, sign up for it. It'll send you email reminders, text reminders, and the address and everything you need, so you don't have to try to remember details. It'll give you all the information, and you just pick your day. It's as easy as that. It's a super easy self-serve system. So, and it's very safe, too. There's no contact, so there's no chance of any contact or sharing of any viruses or germs or anything like that. So that's important these days.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's something that we all have to be mindful of. Should be. Mm-hmm. I'll put it like that. Should be mindful of.
True.
You know, a lot of people still take that for granted. Well, that's just me. I just left Kroger's, and yeah, a lot of people still take that for granted. A lot of people still getting sick and stuff also. Mm-hmm. How can listeners donate meal supplies?
So we've tried to make that super easy also. We have an Amazon wish list, so if someone just goes to our website, which is Luke311Ministries.org, or our Peanut Butter Jelly Truck Facebook page, they can find our list of things we need, like brown paper bags or applesauce. And then they can just choose to have it shipped straight to us from Amazon. So that's a super easy way, but also those items can be dropped off. We have a trunk, just an exchange trunk, that people can open the lid, drop their items in it, and go. And it's a secure trunk at our headquarters, and that's at 499 Ballantyne. It's pretty close to the fairgrounds. So supplies can also be donated that way.
Right. How have you been able to protect the people you serve from COVID?
Oh, gosh. Well, that's been at the forefront of my mind ever since all of this started, because we have the potential to be super spreaders, touching 600 families a week. So we were very careful. Before the vaccine came out, we cut off all contact and pretty much made ourselves quarantined at home, except for when we were running our routes. We ordered the yogurt deliveries in, and we started attending church online, and we did everything we could to protect our customers that way. And then when the vaccine came, all the drivers and the teams got vaccinated. And thank God that we did, because let me tell you a story. Brock had a little head cold a couple of weeks ago, and we're always hypervigilant. Like, we are frequent flyers at the testing sites. Anytime someone sneezes, we go get tested, because, like, we do not want to be frequent. We don't want to be super spreaders. So Brock went and got tested, and he had, like, a little bit of a stuffy head for 2 days, and then the third night he coughed a little bit, and then his test results came back, and it said that he'd had COVID.
Really?
But he was vaccinated. So it was so super mild, and then we called the health department, of course, to find out what the quarantine requirements were so that we could honor that. And I shut down the peanut butter jelly trucks completely, because, like, we didn't know if I was going to wind up getting it and there was just no way to know what was going to happen for the next week or so. So I shut everything down, and we waited, and nobody else got COVID in our house, and he didn't have any other effects besides that super mild case. And and then, you know, when we called the health department to find out, they said that his viral load was so low, because he was vaccinated, that all he needed to do was mask, and that would protect everybody around him. And it sure did.
Well, praise God.
Because, like, we didn't use separate bathrooms or anything in our house, and my daughter and I did not contract it. Like, I had 2 negative tests before I reopened the peanut butter jelly trucks, just to be on the super safe side. But praise God for the technology of these vaccines that gave our our just our scientists and our medical community exactly what they need to give us the tool to fight this terrible scourge that's on our community. We are just so grateful to God for the science and the technology, because that vaccine did its job. Like, they never said it wasn't going to keep you from getting it. They only said it was going to keep you out of the hospital, and
that's
it was going to make
from
it
death.
Very mild, and that's exactly what it did. So we are so grateful. We are just praising God left and right and all the way around about how well that worked for us and how it protected our family and how it protected our community, because our trucks are back up and running as usual, and we didn't wind up spreading to anybody, and we are just so grateful for how that all worked out. But it's been a hard ride, and we've had to make some hard decisions for sure, but I think we're doing all right with keeping everybody safe.
That's great. That's just great news. Wow. Like you said, they didn't promise that we would not get it, but we would not get it to the severity of going in the hospital, being on a respirator, or even dying. You know, so I'm glad you brought that up, because they have so many negative comments and out there, even in the media, on TV, on the Facebook, wherever you look, all these negative connotations, and people believe them. They believe them. And there's nothing I can say to people. It's like they just have this big wall up and they don't want to hear it, and I don't know what's in it. And well, do we know what's in anything that we go buy, even over the counter for a cold, or you know what I'm saying?
I got the package insert and I looked up all the ingredients, and I did a lot of reading and I watched a lot of webinars about the new mRNA technology and how it worked, and I studied pretty hard before I made a decision, because that's not something anybody takes lightly. And
no.
I understand why people are concerned, because I sure was. I did a lot of studying before I decided to do it. But boy, am I glad I did, because it sure worked out great in my family, because my husband is still strong and working alongside me. And, you know, I couldn't be happier with the way that worked in our family.
That's such a blessing, such a blessing. And hopefully those of you who are listening and have not been vaccinated, maybe that could, you know, lead you that way instead of getting the virus and taking chances, because it might not turn out so good for you and your family. And now, you know, they talked about taking kids and stuff. And I did notice that your daughter is almost ready to make you an empty nester. Is that true?
Yeah, she's 17 years old.
Oh,
so
my.
She's a first year, well, she's on track to have her associate degree from Marion Tech when she finishes high school. So she kind of does a lot of her own thing. But she didn't do a lot of work with the ministry this summer because she had her first real job. She worked at the pool. She was a lifeguard.
Okay.
So she was very busy saving lives and keeping people safe in a different way, and we're super proud of her.
That's great, because I know they were looking for lifeguards. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just so they could open up the pool, you know. So did they ever get to a point, I didn't even ask the mayor, that the pool was open more than on the weekends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did, They had a lot of private parties, too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, she had a great summer. She saved, a handful, five or six saves, so I'm pretty proud.
She saved that many lives out there?
Yeah, she jumped in and pulled them out.
Why? She must be an excellent swimmer.
She is. She swims on the swim team, so that's where she got her foundation.
All that strength, you know, to pull
some confidence.
Yeah, to pull somebody else out of danger. Well, that is great. So what is her field going to be in?
She's not sure yet, so she's kind of sticking towards general studies, so that way she can lean any direction she wants.
That's smart, too. Mm-hmm. That's smart. And not only that, coming out of school, graduating with an associate's degree.
Yeah. So that's a little more pressure on her to choose her major, because she only has 2 years of regular college left. But she'll figure it out.
Great.
The Lord will guide her. I pray every day that God will sanctify her and set her apart for His purpose and make His will known to her, so that she just follows the right path and has an easy life, because we know that that's the best way to an easy life is to walk in the path of the Lord's plan.
Amen.
So
Amen, amen, amen. And I'm sure he has her. He has her, right. You raised her up the right way in the church and in the admonition of the Lord, you know. So, and I tried to do the same thing with mine and even my grandkids, you know. If their parents wouldn't take them, I would take them. And neighborhood kids, sometimes my car would be on the ground. It'd be so packed, you know what I'm saying?
I love that.
But I loved it. And I have had neighborhood kids say, I remember when they used to call me Auntie Linda, right? Used to take us to church. Boy, we were sitting on each other's laps, but they were so happy. They was in the choir. They'll never forget those experiences, you know. And once they do, the Lord will bring it back to their mind, you know. Remember when you were here in the church and you were helping your parents and praising God and helping in the ministry? That's beautiful.
We kind of think that way about the peanut butter jelly truck and its legacy, too, because we think when these kids are old and in their 40s and they hear the peanut butter jelly time song, they're going to say, hey, kids, guess what? When I was a kid, there was this ice cream truck that drove around giving out peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Like, right.
I just think about sometimes how these kids as adults are going to describe this experience to their children and their families. It's kind of funny to think about, like, I bet there's going to be some funny tales about kids chasing us down the street. And
probably so. And look at the kids that you may have inspired, you know, once they get of age to reach out and help other people the way they were helped. That is,
that's what we hope when we go through the parks. That's
yes.
what we hope to accomplish. Because
yes.
maybe not everyone there is needy, but everyone needs to be inspired a little
yes.
bit to walk with the Lord.
That's
so.
True. That's true. And give a helping hand to other people. Wow. Sometimes people may knock on my door and I may not receive them the way I should, you know, but I don't know them or I don't know. I just, you know, they may be intoxicated or things like that. You know what I mean? And I don't know what to do because I don't want to make a habit of coming to my house, you know, wanting this and that. And I just didn't know what to do. And my daughter said, Mom, you better keep your doors and stuff locked because they know my situation.
That's what happened. We used to have one of those My Little Pantries in our tree lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would keep that stocked. And then we had regular families who would come. And that's how we realized there was such a need around us. And then the kids would knock on the door and ask when we were going to refill. And that's how we got to know. And that's how our heart went out to our neighbors in need because we realized how needy they really were.
Right.
So, yeah, we had a while where we had a lot of knocking on the door. I do have kids a lot of times knock and ask if I have a sandwich. But I can just grab one, you know, like I always have the tub waiting to go out that night. So I can just grab a sandwich and give it to
them.
That's
neat. That's neat, though.
That's okay. Every neighborhood needs some grandma that they can go ask for a sandwich.
That's true. That is so true. This was not a child, though. This was a grown person. It was a little different for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad you understand, because then I kind of felt a little convicted. What should I have? They didn't want food. They wanted money.
Oh, I know. We had to take that pantry down. It invited a lot more trouble than it was good. I know exactly what you mean.
Okay. I'm glad you understand. I don't have to cry about it anymore. So, Lord, did I do the right thing or not do the right thing?
No, and there is no right or wrong thing. Whatever you feel like you should do is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I try to tell people this all the time with charity. Like, you can't tell someone else what they should do with their charitable efforts. Like,
that's true.
Whatever
that's
you
true.
Decide to do is the right thing to do. And you never know what's going on. There was a lady standing on the road the other day with a sign that said homeless, and I thought, well, I have to find out what's going on with her or I'm not going to be able to sleep. So we ran home and grabbed three sandwiches from the for the route that night and put them in a bag with some applesauce and some stuff and a peach pop. I went to ask her what her story was. So, you know, I gave her the things, and then I said, so what's your story? What's going on? What are you trying to accomplish here? And she said, well, I'm trying to raise some money to gas money to get back to B. Cyrus. And I said, oh, okay. And, like, I had just given her enough gas money to get back to B. Cyrus for sure. But I was like, well, something else is going on with her, clearly, because she's standing on the corner with this sign, and that is not the way most people around here handle their problems.
That's
so
true.
I said, well, what if I take you to B. Cyrus? Like, you know, I'm not a very scary looking lady. You know, like, I'll take you to B. Cyrus. That's fine. And she said, oh, no, I'm living on the street, and my family wouldn't want me to ride with a stranger. And I thought, but they want you to live on the street
right,
in a town
right. That's okay,
half
then,
hour
right.
away from everybody. So
wow.
I couldn't figure out how to help her. Right. She didn't want to accept any more help from me, and I had to
say,
just
wanted the
okay,
money.
So hopefully my care and my concern and my love filled her up a little bit to help her, enable her to make some good decisions going forward. But sometimes no matter how hard you try, you can't help it.
True.
So all we can do is try and hope that our concern filled them somehow and touched them.
That's, I'm glad you shared that with me, because we don't know. And when people want money, that's all they want. They don't want your help or ride to where they wanted to go, their destination. She just really wanted the money.
But if she needed the money for a good reason, I'm happy she had it.
Yes.
And if she needed the money for the wrong reason, then really she's crying out for more than that fix. And
that's true.
And hopefully a kind word helped.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's all we can do.
That's true. That's so true. So are you still in the ministry, in the church? You still preaching, bringing the word?
No, I'm putting, we go to Rise, which is our home church. That's where we met and got married, and that's where we attend online every week, and we go in person every now and then, because we still don't want to expose ourselves too much, but we're putting all of our energy into this, because we still both work full-time jobs, and leading this peanut butter jelly truck project has turned into a very big project, too. So
sounds like it.
Yeah,
we're
pouring everything into that, but we do love Rise. We also love Prospect Street United Methodist Church. We wind up there quite a bit, too. We like them a lot. They're good partners for us, and I don't know. We have two churches, I guess.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that, because your sandwich is a ministry, your sandwich ministry, you know. So that is your church. You're ministering to people, you know, every day. So I understand that. So you don't even have anything to feel guilty about as far as going in a building, you know, because that is your building.
Yeah, instead of preparing a sermon with a whole bunch of words, I prepare a whole bunch of meals.
Yes, you do. Speaks just well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sends
just
the same message.
Yes,
God
it does.
Loves you.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I really admire you, how you stepped out and how God is using you. You know, a lot of things we do is not really of our own. He has already put these things in our mind and in our spirit, you know. And when we wake up to what he wants us to do, it's like, wow, look what I'm doing. You know, I'm helping other people. Would I have thought of this myself to do?
None of this is me. It is all God flowing through me, all the people of Marion, all of their efforts and their good intentions flowing through me. None of it is me. I just get to be the conduit of all the good efforts and feelings and intentions from everybody.
Right. And what a blessing.
I know, it really is.
What a blessing.
It leaves the residue of happiness behind.
Yes. What a blessing. And the people that you serve are blessed to have you and your family and those who have also come alongside you to volunteer. No paycheck. This is volunteer.
We have the best volunteer base in town.
That's great. That's great. Well, it always takes a good reason for people to come alongside of you, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing that, you know, a lot of people want to come along for the wrong reason, but at least you're doing the right thing. And they want to do the right thing, too. And that's help one another. One of the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And love your neighbor as yourself. Can't go wrong with that, Amy.
That covers everything.
Yes, it does. And I tell people that. If you can follow the first two commandments, you're in there.
Yep. Jesus said that exactly.
You're in there, you know.
I know, that's right.
People say, oh, follow the law. Well, which one can you follow completely? Tell me. Somebody tell me, which commandment can you follow completely? None. We need God's help.
Oh, yeah.
From the first to the tenth, we need his help. And don't even think about going to Leviticus and reading over 600 laws. Forget that. Forget that. You know, we're in a different type of society now, but we are out of time, Amy. You have so blessed me, and I'm sure you bless my listeners and those of you who want to get a hold of Amy. She says, go on her website, Luke 3:11.org.
311
Ministries.org. Oh, 311ministries.org. Sorry. 311ministries.org. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for having me again.
You are so welcome. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. The place.